ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కాంటో 1 చాప్టర్ 10 ఎంటైటిల్డ్ డిపార్చర్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ ఫ్రమ్ ద్వారకా. టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 15. మృదంగ శంఖ భేర్యశ్చ వీణా పానవ గోముఖ ధుందురి అనక ఘంటాద్యా నేదుర్దుందు భయస్తత. మృదంగ శంఖ భేర్యశ్చ వీణా పానవ గోముఖ ధుందురి అనక ఘంటాద్యా నేడుర్దుందు భయస్తత. మృదంగ శంఖ భేర్యశ్చ వీణా పానవ గోముఖ ధుందురి అనక ఘంటాద్య నేదుర్దుందు భయస్తత. మృదంగ శంఖ భేర్యశ్చ వీణా పానవ గోముఖ వైష్ణవీస్. మృదంగ శంఖ భేర్యశ్చ మృదంగ స్వీట్ సౌండింగ్ డ్రమ్, శంఖ కాన్షెల్, భేర్య బ్రాస్ బ్యాండ్, చ అండ్ వీణా స్ట్రింగ్ బ్యాండ్, పానవ అ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఫ్లూట్, గోముఖ another flute, dunduri, another drum, anaka, kettle, ghanta, bell, adyaha, others, neduhu, sounded, dundubhaya, other different types of drums, tata, at that time. Translation. While the Lord was departing from the palace of Hastinapur, different types of drums like the mridanga, dhole, nagara, dunduri and dundubi and flutes of different types, the veena, the gomukha and bheri all sounded together to show him honor. There is no purport in this verse. We'll continue reading. This is text 16. Out of a loving desire to see the Lord, the royal ladies of the Kurus got up on top of the palace, and smiling with affection and shyness, they showered flowers upon the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Shyness is a particular extra natural beauty of the fair sex, and it commands respect from the opposite sex. This custom was observed during the days of the Mahabharata, that is, more than 5,000 years ago. It is only the less intelligent persons who are not well versed in the history of the world who say that observance of separation of female from the male is an introduction of the Mohammedan period in India. This incident from the Mahabharata period proves definitely that the ladies of the palace observed strict paradha, strict restricted association with men, and instead of coming down in the open air where Lord Krishna and others were assembled, the ladies of the palace went up on top of the palace and from there paid their respects to Lord Krishna by showers of flowers. It is definitely stated here that the ladies were smiling there on the top of the palace, checked by shyness. This shyness is a gift of nature to the fair sex, and it enhances their beauty and prestige. Even if they are of a less important family, or even if they are less attractive. We have practical experience of this fact. A sweeper woman commanded the respect of many respectable gentlemen simply by manifesting a lady's shyness. Half-naked ladies in the street do not command any respect, but a shy sweeper's wife commands respect from all. Human civilization, as conceived by the sages of India, is to help one free himself from the clutches of illusion. The material beauty of a woman is an illusion because actually the body is made up of earth, water, fire, air, etc. But because there is the association of the living spark with matter, it appears to be beautiful. No one is attracted by an earthen doll, even if it is most perfectly prepared to attract the attention of others. The dead body has no beauty because no one will accept the dead body of a so-called beautiful woman. Therefore, the conclusion is that the spirit spark is beautiful, and because of the soul's beauty, one is attracted by the beauty of the outward body. The Vedic wisdom, therefore, forbids us to be attracted by false beauty. But because we are now in the darkness of ignorance, the Vedic civilization allows very restricted mixing of women and man. They say that woman is considered to be fire and man is considered to be the butter. The butter must melt in the association with fire, and therefore they may be brought together only when it is necessary. And shyness is a check to the unrestricted mixing. It is nature's gift, and it must be utilized. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale స్వయం రూపకదామయ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుత పదకమలం శ్రీగరూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతాం సహగణారఘునాథాంవితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపదాన్ సహగణాలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితంశ్చ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వంచకల్పతరువ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధువ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాత్సాదిగౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. వెరీ ఆనర్డ్ అండ్ గ్రేట్ఫుల్ టు బి ఇన్ దిస్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ హోలీ ప్లేస్ నీ ద్వారకాధామ్. And I seek the blessings of all the exalted devotees here, Suhas Prabhu, Amal Bhakt Maharaj, for allowing me to speak a few words. This place has been a place of meditation for many of us in India, and this place has been a holy dham that we are all aspiring to visit someday, because Srila Prabhupada did so much here. This particular verse that we are discussing today, with the blessings of all the exalted devotees, would like to speak something in this regard. The Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very interesting section in the Srimad Bhagavatam where the qualities of somebody who is practicing spiritual life, studying the scriptures, it speaks about the context where Balramji beheads Romarshana Suta. And this verse, it really brings a lot of interest in the way the emphasis is on good qualities more than scholarship, more than knowledge. This verse says, Rishir Bhagavato Bhuta Shishya Dhitya Bhunicha సేతిహాస్ పురాణి ధర్మశాస్త్రాన్ని సర్వశః అదాంతస్ వినియస్తస్య వృత్తపండితమానిన న గుణాయ భవంతి స్మ నత స్వేయేత జితాత్మనః. హి సేస్ ఆల్దో హీ ఈస్ అ డిసైపుల్ ఆఫ్ ద డివైన్ సేజ్ వ్యాస అండ్ హాస్ థరలీ లర్న్డ్ మెనీ స్క్రిప్చర్స్ ఫ్రమ్ హిమ్ ఇన్క్లూడింగ్ ద లా బుక్స్ ఆఫ్ ద రిలీజియస్ డ్యూటీస్ and the epic histories and the Puranas, all this study has not produced good qualities in him. Rather, his study of the scriptures is like an actor's study of his part, for he is not self-controlled or humble and vainly presumes himself a scholarly authority, though he has failed to conquer his own mind. This verse talks about how important good qualities are in a human being. Srila Prabhupada here in this purport and in the verses that are there in this section, there is emphasis on the shyness as a quality in women. Now, when you look at shyness or when you look at any other good qualities that human beings have, these good qualities are much deeper than the external beauty that we talk about. Here Prabhupada is giving a very interesting description of how beauty is at one level, but what is more deeper than beauty is good qualities. One lady came to Srila Prabhupada for initiation, and while giving initiation, Srila Prabhupada said, "Oh, you look so beautiful," and he gave the name Rukmini Devi Dasi. And then Srila Prabhupada gave a very interesting instruction. He said, "Now you become beautiful inside also." Now this whole concept of what beauty is described in one verse in the Niti Shastra. This verse says, Narasya Abharanam Rupam, Rupasya Abharanam Gunam, Gunasya Abharanam Jnanam, Jnanasya Abharanam Shama. This verse talks about four levels of what beauty can be. The first, it says, Narasya Abharanam Rupam. That means, the ornament of a human being is beauty. Now, if you look at the way the world glorifies beauty, you know, there is whole competitions of Miss World and Miss Universe and God knows what all, you know. It's all about glorifying the concept of beauty. So people feel the most beautiful person is considered to be the most glorious in human society. But this verse is, this sentence is only the first sentence in this verse. The Vedic scriptures goes much deeper about what beauty is. It says, Narasya Abharanam Rupam. Then it says, Rupasya Abharanam Gunam. It says, the ornament of somebody who is beautiful is good qualities. So if somebody is just beautiful but doesn't have good qualities, that's not actually beautiful. And then it goes one step further. It says, Gunasya Abharanam Jnanam. It says, somebody who has guna, good qualities, the ornament of somebody who has good qualities is knowledge. That person should actually be knowledgeable. And then this verse goes even deeper. It says, Jnanasya Abharanam Shama. It says, the ornament of somebody who is knowledgeable is that he has the ability to forgive. If forgiveness doesn't exist in a human being, that means that person is not the most beautiful person. We hear this very beautiful story of a sage who went into a river to have a bath. And he saw this scorpion drowning in the river. And the sage, out of compassion, picked up the scorpion to put it on the ground. And the scorpion stung him. I mean, scorpion bites are very intense. Srila Prabhupada compares death to 32,000 scorpions biting together, you know. So when he flipped his hand and the scorpion fell back into the water, the sage again put his hand in to pick up the scorpion because again it was drowning. The scorpion stung him again. And again it flipped and the scorpion fell into the water. Again the sage picked up. The scorpion was stinging him again and again and again and again. So somebody asked the sage, "Why are you doing this? This scorpion is so ungrateful. Why are you still picking up this?" The sage said, "The nature of the scorpion is to sting, and the nature of a sage is to forgive." So many times when we talk about good qualities, we're talking about something much deeper than externals. Srila Prabhupada here talks about how beauty is so transient and it's really not something that is lasting. The Ramayana talks about a very interesting section which talks about beauty. Every section of the Ramayana is named after some incident or some personality some event in that section. The Balakanda of the Ramayana is named because it's the childhood of Lord Ram. The Ayodhya Kanda is because the whole incident revolves around what happens in Ayodhya. The Aranya Kanda is because that it revolves around what happened in the forest. Kishkindha Kanda is about what happens in Kishkindha. And the last section, which is Yuddha Kanda, is about the fight. So each of these sections have a name which talks about either events in that section or the place where the section happens. But there's one section which is known as Sundar Kanda, which is not about any event nor about any place. Sundar means beautiful. Why is this section called Sundar Kanda? Because this section talks about the beautiful qualities of Hanumanji. This section is all about the beauty of Hanumanji. And what can a monkey connect with beauty, you know. If you really see, monkeys are not the most beautiful personalities in the universe, you know. In fact, if somebody wants to criticize somebody else, they will say, look at your face, you look like a monkey, you know. That means monkey is representing ugliness. But why did Valmiki call this section as Sundarakanda, you know? It's a section about beauty, you know. So here it talks about the beauty of Lord Ram, because Hanumanji describes the beauty of Lord Ram to Mother Sita. It also talks about the beauty of Mother Sita, the great integrity and the great devotion that Mother Sita manifested. But more than anything else, it talks about the beauty of Hanumanji, the beauty of the qualities that Hanumanji manifested. And therefore, the idea of what real beauty is, it revolves a lot around what are the qualities that a devotee manifests in his life. And the moment you talk about the good qualities that a devotee manifests in his life, that becomes the source of what real beauty is. One man came to Parashar Bhatta in Srirangam. Parashar Bhatta is a very exalted Vaishnav in the Sri Sampradaya. And this devotee asked Parashar Bhatta a question. He said, who is a Vaishnav? That's all. It's a very simple question, you know. So this person, Parashar Bhatta, rather than answering the question directly, he said, you should go to Tirupati. Tirupati is like from Srirangam, miles, hundreds of miles away. And he said, go there and speak to Anantacharya. This exalted devotee there. He will give you the answer to this question. So now, this devotee, he was so interested in knowing the answer to this question. You know, when we make inquiries, our inquiries are not exactly manifested with eagerness. This devotee, I'm just going to, this story actually talks about how eager he was to get an answer to this question, who is a Vaishnava? So he actually went for months together traveling, walking to Tirupati to get an answer to this one question, who is a Vaishnava? So he went to Anantacharya, and Anantacharya, he was arranging a feast. Hundreds of people were having prasad. So when this person approached Anantacharya, he said, just wait. And then he kept serving, kept serving, kept serving. And this person was just waiting on the sides. After a few hours, after everyone was fed, they made him sit. And they fed him also. So he said, come tomorrow, I will answer your question. This person went, came the next day. And he asked him the same question, who is a Vaishnava? Again, Anantacharya was busy feeding people, you know. He said, just wait. He made him wait again for hours together. And after all that, they fed him prasad. And then he said, come tomorrow. This went on for literally 2 weeks. Every day he was going, asking the one question, who is a Vaishnava? And Anantacharya just troubled him by not feeding him, making him just wait around. And after 2 weeks of such waiting, he told him, a Vaishnav is like a crane, a Vaishnav is like a hen, a Vaishnav is like salt, and a Vaishnav is like you. Now this person didn't understand what he's talking about, you know. So he said, can you elaborate what it exactly means? Anantacharya told him, go back to the person who sent you to me and ask him, he will tell you, you know. This man, he walked all the way back to Srirangam, another few months, you know. And then he goes to Parashar Bhatta and he asks him, and he narrates the whole incident, whatever happened, you know. And then he says, he just gave me these 4 words. It doesn't mean anything to me. Can you please explain what it means? Then Parashar Bhatta explained the deeper meaning of who a Vaishnava is. He said, Vaishnava is like a crane. Now what does the crane do? He explained how the crane just stands on a river. Still, it's focused, it's meditating. What does it meditate on? It meditates on the fish inside the water. And the interesting thing is, the crane is waiting for the right fish to come. It allows all the small fishes to go. It doesn't really bother about the small fishes, you know. And exactly when the big fish comes, it dives deep in and catches the big fish. So he said, a Vaishnava is like a crane because Vaishnav doesn't allow big opportunities to associate with big Vaishnavs to pass by. when all the small fishes pass, a Vaishnava doesn't really, you know, bother so much. But the moment when big fish comes, big fish here represents great exalted devotees. The crane jumps in to take the association of the big fish. Of course, it doesn't mean that that you eat up the big Vaishnavas, you know. It talks about, you know, association essentially. And because he knows how rare it is to get association of great devotees. Of course, the crane also is extremely pure white, you know, in its outlook. It talks about the purity of great devotees. And that is the first quality of a Vaishnava. Then Parashar Bhatt explains why he says a Vaishnava is like a hen. The quality of a hen is that the hen can find grains even in garbage. That means even in a heap of dirt, if you have ever seen hens in India, they just keep pecking all the time on the ground, you know. And you wonder, what are they pecking? There seems to be nothing on the ground. But the hen has the ability, even in a heap of dirt, to find one piece of grain. And he focuses on that. So he says, a Vaishnav is Saragrahi. That means the Vaishnav knows when to take the essence and how to take the essence, even in the midst of a lot of junk. So the good qualities that a devotee manifests, even in the most abominable situation, if a Vaishnava can see something good, he picks it up. Srila Prabhupada, look at the kind of Saragrahi Vaishnava that he was. He, even in the midst of Bauri, he found some beautiful gems. In the midst of the most abominable places, Srila Prabhupada knew how to pick up the best, you know. Even in the midst of the hippie culture, he brought out some happy people, you know. Really beautiful people. And then Parashar Bhatt explains, a Vaishnava is like salt. What is the quality of salt? When salt is too much, you immediately point out. And when salt is too less, you immediately point out. But when the salt is perfect, nobody even talks about salt. Do we ever say, today salt was perfect? You know, we never say that. Because when salt is perfect, nobody acknowledges its presence. A Vaishnava is like salt. That means, such a Vaishnava, he does big tasks, but he doesn't show that I did it. A Vaishnava is someone who is conspicuous by his absence. So you cannot see him. A Vaishnava doesn't show himself too much in front, but a Vaishnava is present through his qualities and through his contribution. When Hanumanji met Mother Sita in Lanka, so Sita was almost on the verge of committing suicide. She was like, she had given up. And at that point of time, Hanumanji reached the tree on which Mother Sita was, under which she was standing. Hanumanji, he was thinking, how do I inspire her? So Hanumanji did something very interesting. He took a very tiny form and he hid himself behind a leaf. And he started narrating the Ramayana. As Hanuman was narrating the Ramayana, Mother Sita below, she was captivated with the sound vibrations of the Ramayana. And she was attentively hearing Hanumanji speak the Ramayana. At some point, she looked up to find out who the speaker is. But Hanumanji was hidden behind a leaf, so she couldn't see the speaker. The Acharyas explained, this is how a good speaker of Krishna Katha, Hari Katha, Ram Katha should be. That means, he should keep himself hidden and keep Krishna, Ram ahead. So many speakers today, if you look at, you know, you go to India and you see all these billboards, massive billboards. The speaker manifests himself in the front and keeps Krishna hiding behind somewhere, you know. So here, Hanumanji shows this beautiful quality of how a Vaishnava is. He's like salt. He's not present visibly in front of you, but he knows how to keep himself hidden and manifest Krishna, add taste to your life. And then he says, Parashar Bhatt says, Vaishnava is like you. What does he mean by like you? This devotee, he was troubled so much. Anantacharya told his disciples to insult him, to just make him wait for so long, 2 weeks, not giving any answer. So, generally, people, if anybody else was there in his place, they would have got angry. They would have got upset. They would have got frustrated. So Parashar Bhatt says, Vaishnava is like you, because a Vaishnava remains humble. A Vaishnava is somebody who doesn't have ahankar, doesn't have the false ego. And therefore, This whole quality of Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Saishnuna, Amanina Manadena is considered to be the essence of Vaishnavism. The interesting part is, if you really study, Bhagavad Gita is a graduate study of spiritual life. Bhagavad Gita begins with, you're not the body of spirit soul, but Bhagavad Gita ends with Sarvadharman, to surrender to Krishna. Where Bhagavad Gita ends, Srimad Bhagavatam begins. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with Janmadi Asyayataha, surrender to Krishna. And Srimad Bhagavatam ends with Nama Sankirtan, the importance of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Where Srimad Bhagavatam ends, Chaitanya Charitamrita begins. Chaitanya Charitamrita literally begins with the importance of chanting the holy names of the Lord. And Chaitanya Charitamrita ends in the Sikshtashtakam, the 8 verses composed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so that means Bhagavad Gita is a graduate study, Bhagavatam is the postgraduate study, and Chaitanya Charitamrita is the PhD study of spiritual life. The most important part of the PhD study of spiritual life is the 8 verses of Sikshtashtakam. And out of the 8 verses, the most important verses, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Saishnanam, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadhari. That means, the most important verse of the PhD of spiritual life is humility, tolerance, and respecting others. So essentially, when Parashar Bhatt explained that this is what a Vaishnava is, Vaishnava is like crane, Vaishnava is like hen, Vaishnava is like salt, and Vaishnava is humble like you. This shows about how the Vaishnava shows beautiful qualities in his life. The real beauty of a Vaishnava is that a Vaishnava runs towards Krishna. We are moving towards the Kartik Mass. I'll just share one very beautiful insight about Damodar Ashtakam in the Kartik month. This verse of the Damodar Ashtakam, Iti Drikshva Leelabir Ananda Kunde Swagosham Nimajantam Akhyapayantam. This verse actually is one of the most revealing verses of the Damodar Ashtakam. In fact, it verse summarizes everything about spiritual life. The Mahabharata gives a very beautiful example. It says, it gives the example of a living entity is compared to balls. And this material world is compared to a vessel, a huge kadai or a vessel, you know, in which there is water that is boiling, you know, oil that is boiling, you know. So this material world is Davagni, you know, Samsara Dava, Nalali Idaloka. There is a lot of fire in the material world. And the living entities are thrown into the fire. So all of us are thrown into the material world and there is a lot of boiling happening. There is a lot of fire going on. There is a lot of heat in our lives, you know. And the time factor is compared to the handle or the spoon that is used to, the ladle that is used to, you know, shake the thing. And the living entity is boiling and the material world is frying out everyone. What do you do in such a situation? In India, there is a beautiful recipe of a item which is known as Kala Jamun. This is the bigger brother of Gulab Jamun, you know. So, when you cook this item, Kala Jamun, actually the recipe of making of Kala Jamun is exactly how this verse of the Mahabharata explains it. Exactly like that. You make balls, throw it into the oil, and it keeps boiling, boiling, boiling. And you use the ladle to, you know, stir it. And when it becomes dark black, it has to completely char up, you know, on the externals. That's when it is called Kala Jamun, you know. Gulab Jamun is golden in color, but Kala Jamun is completely black. It's completely fried out, you know. And once it is completely fried, it is taken out and thrown into a bowl of sugar syrup. Dipped into the bowl of sugar syrup. This verse exactly talks about that. Iti drikshva leelabir ananda kunde. What is that ananda kunda? The bowl of sugar syrup. What is the bowl of sugar syrup? Krishna katha, Krishna leela, Krishna smaran. Era. So all of us have access to ananda kunde. Rukmini Dwarkadi standing over here is a bowl of sugar syrup. And we are all in the material world getting fried out royally. You know, the material world is frying us out. The hope for the devotees is that once we are fried out thoroughly, fed up of the material world, you can jump into the bowl of Ananda Kunde. Nimajantam Akhyapayantam. Nimajantam means dip. Dip into the pastimes of Krishna. Dip into the Ananda Kunde. So for all of us, we are a part of the material world. We are getting fried out in the material world. But along with that, the beauty that Srila Prabhupada has offered us is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. This bowl of Ananda Kunde. Every time we get fried out in the material world, we need to remember it's time to dip in. into the bowl of Ananda Kunde. That's what Vrindavan was. Vrindavan, every single day there would be demons coming in. But as soon as the demons would come in, what would the Vrajavasis do? Jump into the Ananda Kunde. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga. They would run to Krishna and take shelter of him. So here, as we are describing this verse and discussing this beautiful verse that Srila Prabhupada gives a purport towards, the idea in this verse is that external beauty, external qualities don't really last. And that shouldn't be the focus. But the focus is to develop good qualities that help us take shelter of Krishna. So all these beautiful personalities in Dwarka, all these beautiful ladies, they had beauty on an external level. But that was what that's not what they focused on. What they focused on is their connection with Krishna. And to manifest their connection with Krishna, you need to manifest good qualities. And when you manifest these good qualities, you become beautiful on an external level also. Thank you very much. If there's anything I said which is beyond my realizations, please forgive me for that. If there's anything I said useful, please share your blessings so that I can progress in my spiritual lives. Hare Krishna. Grantraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Maharaj wants to ask a question. Is there a microphone?
First, I want to thank you very much for a wonderful, insightful, descriptive, and exemplary class. Thanks so much. We all appreciate it by the applause, as you can see. So, I just wanted to make a comment, and I have nothing against anything that you said, except I wanted to just give a little clarification on one particular point, and that is on good qualities. Good qualities can be in two different ways, as I have seen. There are people who can manifest good qualities, kindness, generosity, or charity, thoughtfulness, praises, honoring, all of these. These can be done in a very mechanical, robotic, indifferent, thoughtless way, yet they are being done. And they are as good as no qualities, because there is no heart in them. So it is very important that when we are exhibiting or expressing good qualities, they actually should come from the heart. From the heart means that we can put ourselves in the position of that person. And putting ourselves in the position of the person, for example, a person falls and he cries out, "Oh!" So one person who really doesn't care, he says, "Oh, did you get hurt? Is anything wrong?" And the person says, "Oh, well, I'm in pain." He says, "Well, I'm sure that you'll be able to take care of yourself because it looks like you can get up." So this is an indifferent. This is not heart. This is not feeling. This is not sympathy or even empathy. Whereas another person, he sees a person falls down on the ground and the person is saying, "Oh," so the person immediately gets down on the ground with him. How can I help you? Can I help you get up? Can I get you some water? Can I call the doctor? But what would you like? In other words, he's concerned about benefiting the person who has gotten a heart and not merely putting on a show of interest in the idea that he can compliment himself and say, "Yes, I'm a good person because at least I asked him how he was and then I walked away." The other person, he doesn't even think of himself as being a good person or doing something wonderful or doing something good. All he wants to do is relieve the pain or relieve the suffering of the person who is down and hurt, because he identifies with the pain in the feeling of sympathy, which is another good qualities, and the empathy to actually experience within his mind and heart what pain that person is suffering, and he wants to relieve it. So the point I want to make is that all good, as you mentioned, I have nothing to say against anything that you said. I'm only saying is that good qualities must be measured not only by the external show, but by the internal feelings as they are expressed. That's all.
Thank you very much for adding. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you.